Welcome to the Evolve Beyond Limits podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Geisel. I am a human design and relationship coach, 6'2", manifesting generator, and total lover of life. If you want real solutions to real life problems, then you are in the right place. This podcast is dedicated to using human design, ancient teachings, and DNA activation to elevate both your relationship with yourself and the people around you. If you are willing to take action on the practical steps given in this podcast, I promise your life will change for the better. All you have to do is open your heart and mind, step beyond your fear, and activate the courage needed to create a life that you're excited to live. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hello, what is up, Evolve Beyond Limits family? We are here today to talk a little bit about the heart center in human design. So the heart center, there's 9 different centers, and this one is specifically tied to our ego. It is heavily tied to our connection and how much worth we see in the material world and how connected we are to material things in our life. It is also, has a lot to do with our self-worth, how we see ourselves. And what I really want to talk about today is one specific thing that can be really helpful in helping to align your heart center. And what that is the difference between being in object referral versus being in self referral. So last week we talked about the difference between internal and external motivators. This is a little bit different because that was like, how are you going through life? What kind of like guides you as going through life? This one is, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? And how we see ourselves can either be in comparison to what we see around us externally, or it can be the truth of who we are, which is something that stems internally. So one thing that I want you to remember, and that I really want to get across here, because it is something that I have gotten lost in, I have watched other people get lost in, and it's really easy to get sucked into this. I know being an entrepreneur, it has taken its toll in that. And here it is. Remembering that your power lies in who you are, not what you do. Whatever you do in life is a tool. It's a tool that you might use that tool to do good in others' lives. I hope that you do use that tool to do good in others' lives in some way, shape, or form. But your power is never in the tool. It's never about what you do. Your power lies in who you are while you're doing that thing, while you walk through the world. The amount of impact that you make on this world will always be dependent and will always be bigger when you focus on who you are, not what you do. Okay, so let's talk about the difference between object referral and self-referral. So first we're going to start with object referral, because this is where I would say most people are. And you might be, you know, very much this way. You might have a little bit of self-referral, and the goal is to kind of flip the switch and go from object referral to self-referral. But let's talk about what that means. So when we're in object referral, what that means is that the decisions that we make in our life, how we feel about ourselves, and how we feel about our life in general, is dictated by the outside world and guided by your ego. Okay? So the decisions you make, how you feel about yourself, and how you feel about your life is dictated by the outside world and often guided by your ego. It's often guided by comparison. You are basing your decisions, how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life, on in comparison to what you see around you, in comparison to the people that you might be watching on social media. You are dictating and making decisions about your life and how you feel about your life based on things that are external. And so when we talk about the ego, when we talk about it in this sense, it's defined as your self-image, your social masks, or the roles that you are playing in your life. So your ego isn't actually who you are. It's the part of you that you have created throughout your life. So what this means is that how we feel about ourselves in our life is usually in comparison or directly related to four main categories, okay? So your situation or your environment. So depending on where you are depends on how you feel about yourself. So how do you feel about yourself when you're at home compared to at work, compared to at the grocery store, compared to when you're with one group of friends, compared to another group of friends, compared to when you're at the gym? All of those things matter. And I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of times something that I've noticed is that they feel like one person at home and they feel like a completely different person at work. And when that is the case, we just have to, it's important to just understand that, like, well, who are you then? Are you who you are when you're at home? Are you who you are when you're at work? What changes? What shifts? And it's a really good opportunity to be self-reflective and understand that that how you feel about yourself changes from work to home. And why is that the case? The second one is your circumstances. So this is like your financial position, your relationship status, your perceived, the amount of perceived success that you have, your education. So if you feel like you are financially unstable, then that's a circumstance that makes you, it shifts the way that you feel about yourself. If you're somebody who is single, you may feel less than somebody who is, you know, married or in a committed relationship. If you are somebody who never went to college, you might feel less than or inferior to somebody who has a college degree. These are the type of circumstances that we are comparing ourselves to. The third one is people. So who are you surrounded by? Do you feel inferior to them? Do you feel superior to them? Do you feel equal to the people around you? Everybody is a little bit different in this category. And it's interesting to see, you know, they always say that you never want to be the smartest person in the room, but all of us actually want to be the smartest person in the room, right? Because then we can feel good about ourselves. So remember that this is all driven by ego. So you wanting to feel superior is just like your ego's way of saying, oh, look at how great I am. Or if you walk into something and you feel inferior to this, to somebody, how do you show up? And like, what does that look like? And going back and asking yourself the question, why? What sparks that? And then the fourth one is things. So remembering that how we feel about ourselves and our life is in comparison or directly related to what things we have. Do we have the latest gadgets? Are we wearing the newest thing, the car that you drive, the house that you live in? This is probably where we say like keeping up with the Joneses. This is where this one comes in, is like, is how we feel about ourselves in comparison to the amount of things that we have or how nice our things are. And again, that's all relative to maybe the people that you're surrounded by. And why this is an issue is because ultimately this leads to making decisions in your life based on three things. You will start making decisions based on, one, seeking approval from other people. Two, this intense need to control everything. and why we do this and why the ego wants to control everything and have everything under control is because there's a fear of not upholding a certain appearance or losing whatever is making you feel like you've got your shit together. So what I mean by that is that you feel like if you can control your money and you can hold on to that, because your money is what makes you feel safe in life. It's what makes other people look up to you. It's what makes you feel superior to the people around you. Like, oh, I've got my stuff together because I have this amount of money. You might notice yourself really trying to control that and being like very, just not letting things flow, because there's a fear. And the fear is, if I lose this, then I'm not going to know who I am anymore. I'm not going to appear the same way in the eyes of others that I have appeared before. So you start trying to control your appearance, right? Maybe you don't go around certain types of people because you can't seem to uphold a certain appearance in front of those people. You might find yourself, you know, unable to you may find yourself unable to leave the house unless you look a certain way, right? Because on the off chance that somebody sees you and you're not who you've claimed yourself to be, like, you don't let yourself be everything you are. You're trying to uphold a certain appearance in the eyes of others. And then the last one, which some people have a might struggle with this one, but the third one is gaining external power. So you might not think that we're doing this, but a lot of times we make decisions that are driven by the need to feel important or superior to other people. So we gain this external, we're trying to gain this external power over people. So it's like, it's that whole thing of, I need to feel important, so I'm going to make sure that I put people down, or I make sure that I am in rooms where I am the most important person, or I am the smartest person, or I am this, because I need to feel superior to the people around me. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are you living your life for you, or are you living your life for someone else? Because when you live in this object referral state, you choose how you're going to live your life depending on the response you think you're going to get from the outside world. So you start to make decisions, and because you think that you might get credit or recognition or validation from the people around you, you start to shift and alter how you act and how you show up and where you go and what you look like based on how you think somebody is going to approve of you, or if they're going to accept you or not. You start to, you know, and we start doing this when we're really young, like, because we start to go into observation mode. We see that, oh, mom really, really like loves that I am I'm really great at this sport, right? So we don't make decisions based on what our own heart wants. We have made the association that she loves me more when I'm playing this sport. And so I'm going to keep doing that because it's giving me the response that I want from her. And this can go in both like positive or negative ways. You can be either trying to gain a positive response, or you can be trying to avoid a negative response. So, but ultimately, you're living your life dependent on the response you think you're going to get. So how you show up in the world is dependent on how you think other people are going to respond to you. So you might end up dressing a certain way, not because it's even you, but because you have identified that it is more accepted to dress this way. And so you override what you want. You override who you are. You override your heart. And you say, well, if I would like to be accepted, then I'm going to have to do it this way. So instead of being true to yourself, you put on an act. You put on an act that is dependent on who you think everyone else wants to be. You quite literally become the actor or actress of your life. And that is when we talk about the heart center and we talk about the archetypes that come with it, one of the archetypes is the actor or the actress. And when you are out of alignment in the heart center, you are acting in your life. You go through life not being who you really are, but who you think everybody else wants you to be. And what's so powerful about this is that it gives you a sense of having control of how you appear in the eyes of others. But the cost is that you lose your true self in the process. And if you ask me, that cost is just significantly too high. And I've done it. We've all done this. And like I said, we don't even realize that we have done it because it starts so young that it takes us later in life to start to unbecome everything that we thought we had to be. We have to start to understand and peel back the onion and start unraveling the yarn and the knot and say, like, this is me, this isn't. And that's not necessarily an easy process. Because the ego is going to do everything that it can to hold on to what it feels is safe. And it has determined what is safe. It has determined who you need to be to get approval, to get accepted, to like, it has determined all of those things. So it's not going to want to let them go easily. But it's exhausting to pretend to be somebody you're not. It is literally exhausting to walk into a room or think about going somewhere and having to assess who's going to be there, what are they going to be doing, what are they going to think of me. Okay, now how do I dress and how do I, you know, show up and how do I talk in a way that they're going to accept me? I think that this is actually where a lot of social anxiety comes from, because it's very constricting and it feels like this internal battle that you're having between your heart and your head, because you want to just be you. Your soul, your spirit always just wants to be the truest essence of who you are, but your head is saying, but you can't be that, but you can't be that, but you can't be that, because they're not gonna like you. They're not going to approve of you. They're not going to accept you if you are yourself. If you are just yourself, that feels very unsafe. And so you feel this constriction, not because you don't like people, not because social situations are scary, but because you are in an internal conflict with yourself that is creating anxiety, because your heart and your head are fighting. And they are like, your heart is like, just be yourself. And your head's like, you can't do that. That's unsafe. And so then it creates this anxiety and this tension and this chaos within your system, where if you just were to show up as yourself and not worry about the perception that other people might have of you, you are going to feel free and you're going to feel light. But when we don't, it feels heavy. It feels like there is something that wants to come out and we have to fight with everything that we have to keep it under wraps. It feels like a fraud. It feels like you're pretending, because you are. And these things can actually result in one, low self-esteem. Two, people pleasing. If you consider yourself a people pleaser, this is a big, big area to look at. it can result physically in chronic fatigue and exhaustion because of what I just said. It is so tiring to feel like you always have to be somebody else, or you have to alter who you are dependent on your environment or your situation or the people that you're around or the status that you have or whatever that looks like. It can feel heavy. So either physically, like you literally feel heavy, or just energetically, it feels heavy. And there's a lack of true joy in your life. So understand that it's not easy to drop your ego in this sense, because it's an image that you have been creating since you were little, and it has served you in more ways than once. It has protected you. It has kept you safe. And it will utilize all of those things to try to keep itself in place. Like, your ego will fight you on every level to uphold this image, because what it takes to move through it is effort and humility and trust that when you come back to the truth of who you are after all of these years, even though it might be really uncomfortable the first few times that you just show up and you're like, I'm just going to be authentic and I'm just going to be me and I'm not going to hold back. And I am like, and if people like me, great. And if they don't, that's okay too. That's not on me. It's going to be so uncomfortable to give yourself that permission slip, but that discomfort is temporary. On the other side of it is liberation. It's freedom. It is like, oh my gosh, it's like a lifting of this weight that you're like, I cannot believe that I've been putting on that front for so long. And it just feels so good to be me. And when you do this, this is when you start to come into self-referral. So self-referral is what's left when you strip away all of the labels, all of the masks that you have been wearing, that you have been carrying around. And so all that's left is your true self, your soul, your spirit. Something amazing happens when you do this, because you go from needing the approval of the people around you to realizing that you don't have anything to prove to anyone. And when you realize that you have nothing to prove to anyone, this is where you activate your personal power, and you will see some amazing things happen, including you become immune to criticism. Like, it's okay if somebody doesn't like who you are or how you do things or any of that. Like, you understand that just because it's not their way doesn't mean it's the wrong way. And you understand that oftentimes the criticism that somebody else has for you, the judgment that someone else has for you, is directly correlated to the judgment and the criticism that they have within them. And so you just feel immune to that. Okay, you can feel that way, but I know who I am. And I understand that I'm going to let this roll off my back because it's not about me in the first place. You become fearless in the face of challenges, because fear is only created by the ego. And when your life is no longer dictated by your ego trying to keep itself safe, you realize that you have challenges become just another opportunity to grow. And if you're not afraid of how you're going to look, if you're not afraid of looking stupid or what people are going to think or feeling like a failure or proving somebody right or wrong or whatever that looks like, you're willing to show up. You're willing to show up completely different than you would be if you were in that state of object referral, if you were making all of your decisions based on how you think everyone else is going to feel about you. The most important thing is how you feel about you. When you get to, years down the road, how do you feel about the decision that you made? How do you feel about choosing to overcome or try and take on that challenge? Or did you back down because you were afraid that maybe you were going to look stupid, or if you failed, then everybody would laugh at you, right? So you are become fearless in the face of challenges. This is one of my all-time favorite sayings, and I remember it, and I say it all the time. But when you become in the state of our self-referral, you honor all and bow to none. You feel superior to no one and inferior to no one, because you realize that we are all equal. And you realize that while you have gifts and things to share, other people have gifts and things to share with you. And while you have things to teach, there are things that you can be taught. And it is never about being inferior or superior to anybody. It's about being equals and seeing yourself as that, regardless of status, regardless of who you're in the room with, regardless of who is the teacher and who is the student. You realize that it's not about being superior or inferior. It's about the fact that each person has things to share and we can learn from one another always. Always. And when you do this, you open yourself up to feeling more joy, more lightness, and more grace in your life. Because your ego, when you're making decisions based on your ego, when you're making decisions based on how you're going to appear or upholding an image or whatever that looks like, it is what results is fatigue, exhaustion, burnout. Because you're not making decisions from your heart. You're making decisions from your head or from your ego. When you make decisions based on your spirit, with your soul, based on God's will, which is always spoken through your spirit and your soul, not your head or your ego. When you make decisions based on that, you make decisions of spirit. And when you make decisions of spirit, it always comes through in joy and inspiration. So you feel that. Life feels lighter. It feels more joyful. You feel happier. And then you become magnetic to whatever people, whatever opportunities, whatever circumstances you need to fulfill the desires that you have, to fulfill your path, to fulfill God's will. You will become magnetic to them. Because you're no longer trying to impress all of these people that you think are important. And instead, you're being yourself. You are being your true self. And therefore, the people that are meant to connect with you have a path to you. They are going to be magnetized to you. I cannot tell you how many times this has happened in my life where I realized that I was spending all of this time trying to impress all of these people or prove myself to certain people that were never my people. They were never my people to begin with, but because I was so fixated on how I looked in their eyes, I ended up siphoning myself off to all of these people that did love me for who I was, that I didn't have to feel like I had to be somebody different, to that I didn't feel inferior to. Like it opens up so much magic in your life. And then you're not, you might be trying for this opportunity because you think that that's the thing that's going to make you feel successful in the eyes of others. Like, if I could just do this thing, if I could just reach this milestone, then I'll finally have proven myself to the people around me. Well, what if that opportunity was never for you? Right? So we become magnetic to the things that are of God's will, that are of the path that we're meant to take. But if we are stuck in object referral, then we're going to miss out on that opportunity. And then lastly, your relationships improve because They are rooted in an equal energy exchange instead of lack and desperation. So we see this in relationships all the time where we might feel less than somebody. And so we then are like, okay, who do I need to be good enough for them? And it's exhausting and it's desperate. And it's like this constant needing to prove yourself of to why you are worthy of their time and their energy. We don't want relationships like that. We want relationships that are equal energy exchanges, meaning that when you are with that person, it doesn't feel like you're trying to prove something. It feels like it just feels so good. Like I get from you and you get from me. And it's a really beautiful synergy. And it opens up to this depth of relationship that is really beautiful instead of, you know, like trying to uphold a certain image or prove yourself to that person and or vice versa. That is, it's repelling. And it doesn't feel good. And it's just a opportunity when your relationships might feel like that to realize that there's some sort of energy exchange that is off. It's off kilter. And more than likely, it's because you aren't being your authentic self. And when you start to live in this essence of self-referral, it's powerful. It's powerful because you realize that, and I said this at the very beginning, that you realize that your power lies in who you are, not what you do. It allows you to live free of judgment for yourself and others and to be present in each moment, which is the only moment where life can truly be lived. And there's this really beautiful quote, and it says, when you are content to be simply yourself and don't compare or compete, everyone will respect you. When you stop trying so hard, everyone will respect you. And Andrew and I used to have this conversation all the time because there was a long part of my life that I spent trying to prove myself. And when you try to prove yourself, everyone can feel it. And it's actually really repelling. So it's like the more you try to prove yourself to the people around you, the less respect you get. And the more you are, while there are going to be people that don't love it, while there are going to be people that judge you because of their own judgments of themselves, you will gain respect because it takes so much courage to just be yourself. Regardless of what room you're in, regardless of the people that you're with, like that kind of authenticity is, people can't help but respect it. So consider that. And what I'm going to do is I've actually created a workbook that goes along with this. And so I'm going to drop it into Patreon. So anybody who is part of the Evolve Beyond Limits Patreon family, you are going to have access to this workbook, this companion resource where you can, there's going to be journaling prompts, there's action steps. So I will put a challenge into Patreon, when it comes to this, because there's a few different ways that we can come back to ourselves. Because that's the next question, right? Like how, but how? I understand that I'm living my life in this place, but where, like, how do I come back to the truth of who I am? One is I'm going to give you journaling prompts. Two, the best way to get to know yourself is to cut out the noise and just be with yourself. So yes, there is a meditation that I have included that if you can complete this 1 to 2 times a day for the next 7 days, that's going to be our challenge. I had a mentor one time, and I'm sure I've said this on the podcast before, but it's worth mentioning. She would say, like, if you can't spend time with yourself, then you're in poor company. And you're in poor company because you just don't know yourself. Right. And I always thought that was so harsh. But the truth is, very few people spend time with only themselves, spend time cutting out the noise, cutting out the objects, cutting out the external. The only way to come back to the internal is to remove yourself from the external. It is to come back to inward, come back to yourself. And we can only do that with silence. We can only do that with these tools. And it's not going to happen overnight. And it's going to take time. And you might feel like you're really bad at it. And I'm going to do a whole podcast on the power of meditation and some misconceptions. But just keep showing up. Okay. Another thing that we can do is connecting with nature. So again, this can be a walk without electronics. This can be connecting or observing animals, sitting on the ground and doing your meditation at the base of a tree. There's so many different ways that we can connect with nature, but nature reminds us that we are a small part of something huge and that every part matters, that we are equivalent to nature, that we are equivalent to the animals, that we are all of in, like we are all equal and there is something to be learned. When I talk about inferior versus superior to things and honor all and bow to none, it comes down to this too. Like we can learn so much from nature. Nature is one of our biggest teachers, but very few people slow down enough to listen. Very few people allow themselves the opportunity to get in the middle of it and not see themselves as superior to it, but see yourself as equal. And there's something that nature has to share with you. So connecting with that is a big, it's a big, beautiful way of, like, I think about a tree, right? Or I think about a flower. I like trees, let's use a tree. So when I think about a tree, I think about the fact that trees are one of the most powerful things on our planet, right? They keep our oxygen flowing. They are giving us life. They quite literally give us life. And a tree doesn't try to be a tree. It's not trying to do something amazing. It is literally just being what it is. And that's something that we can think about in our own life. Like, stop trying to be something amazing and just be who you are, because that's amazing, right? And if you can just do what you naturally do, which every single person has gifts that they offer this world, if you can just naturally do those things and stop trying to do all of those things, then just like a tree, you're going to make a massive impact on this world, but you're not going to have to try. A tree doesn't sit there and think to itself constantly, I should do this. I need to do this. I should be doing this better, right? Like, or what are the flowers doing today? Do I need to change what I'm doing because the flowers are doing something different? Like, we don't have that. And so just be a tree. Okay, maybe don't be a tree, but just connect with what I'm saying there. And this is a good reminder and maybe something to take into consideration while you're doing this challenge for the next 7 days is, oh, a tree doesn't have to try. It's just powerful because of what it is and the fact that it's God's creation. That's why it's powerful. So, and then the last thing, and this is a tough one, and that's why it's going to be part of this challenge is like, I shall not judge anything that happens today. Starting your day with this intention, giving yourself permission to strip away anything being good or bad or right or wrong or healthy or unhealthy, or the shoulds or the shouldn'ts, or whatever other labels you've placed on your behaviors, your thoughts, your actions. Can you strip away? Can you refrain from labeling all of the things around you? And not just within yourself, but with other people. Oh, what they're doing is good. Oh, what they're doing is bad. Can you stop and just not judge anything that happens. Just allow yourself to remain in a neutral state. This is significantly more difficult than it might sound difficult, honestly. And it is, because this is, we have so much judgment for ourselves and we walk around with that and we're always comparing ourselves to others and all of that. Can we strip that away and just remain in a neutral state? And you might just notice how much you judge yourself. So allow yourself to notice that. You might need to recommit to this process several times throughout the day. And just remembering that the goal of this is to simply become aware of it and notice the way you judge yourself. We don't have to do anything with it. I tell clients all the time that we can have revelations without resolutions. You don't have to do anything with this information. Just being aware of it is enough. So that concludes our podcast episode for this week. And like I said, if you go on to Patreon and become part of the Evolve Beyond Limits family, then you are going to have access to this 15-page workbook that has all of these action steps. You can share your experiences right there with everybody else on the page. So we will make sure that we link up the access to the Patreon page right in the show notes. So take a look there, or you can just search for Evolve Beyond Limits on Patreon. You can download the app and do that. And all right, well, I think that is all that I have for you today. So until next time, walk your talk, speak your truth, choose courage over comfort, and always evolve beyond limits.